Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Be the very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, dear friends, from Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod, and greetings from our resonating Arcturians and the Sirius Cluster. As you know, we operate on wavelengths here, and the waves have to come from somewhere. Whether they're radio waves, an ocean wave, or a hand waving a handkerchief from shore, they have to come from somewhere. All of us are subject to waves, and we grant them entrance unless we do not. Sometimes it is hard to control ingress because the waves are within the bandwidth that relates to the subconscious. Some of these waves are collective urges and awarenesses that are shared by most of us as we generate and maintain them, and they are expressions of our humanity at humanity's level of awareness in this time zone that we inhabit. Some of these waves are generated by cabals of dark forces from locations on the astral plane, and they are manifested with the intention of social control, and some are generated from regions of light, celestial regions, and they are manifested for the purpose of guidance and directed toward planes of higher knowledge and initiation, as well as liberation as the final destination. Tonight we are cruising in the saucer pod and transmitting from there as well. There were wisps of smoke from the Mauna Loa crater as we sailed off into the blue Pacific in search of nothing but the horizon. Soon we were high enough to see the curve of the earth. I turned on a Doobie Brothers collection, and that's where we find ourselves now. Long Train Running is playing, but I have it on headphones, so you can't hear it. I love that song. It's a perfect tune for the moment here up in this wide sky. We could go anywhere right now, but better save that for another time, as we have this broadcast to do for the moment. It's nice to have the feeling, at any rate. We were talking about wavelengths and how they impact on us. Most of you are familiar with microwaves, and they're not good for children and other living things, as a poster I once saw said, but it wasn't talking about microwaves. And you should know about the deleterious effect of Wi-Fi also. Apparently, that's not good for you either. These are some of the obvious frequencies that can play havoc with our brainwaves, our hormones, and other things. They play havoc with our feelings as well. I'm reminded of something I once heard Buckminster Fuller say. He said that he could design a living space that would make a couple get a divorce in a week. He was talking about condos. And next thing you know, they're all over the place. Living in congested locations will also mess with your head because there are telepathic waves that radiate out from the heads of all of the people around you. I've experienced these things firsthand, and one thing I know is this can cause depression. You can also get bleed-offs from the dark side of people's nature, Depending on who is in your area of influence, a trained individual would know what to do about blocking these things, but most people don't even think about the possibility of any of it. The biggest problem for aware individuals is the horde of unconscious souls who clog the arteries of coming and going and who contribute to the environments that are constructed by those seeking control over the masses. This is why an informed public is such a critical thing for the general ease of being, and that is why the bad guys make it so that they control the information mediums and control what people see and hear and how they interpret what they see and hear. Most of it is all just a lot of BS. What is real bears no comparison with what is made to appear real. And what is made to appear real is engineered to control people through fear, as well as to control the ebb and flow of basic life needs, as well as the state of the economy and the state of the culture. If you can keep people constantly apprehensive, then that is all they're going to think about. Here is the important thing to keep in mind. The agents of darkness can only control and manipulate appearances. They cannot control what is real. That is the province of the divine. If your trust is in the divine, then you are under the aegis of the divine. And greater is that which is in you than that which is in the world. And if God is for you, then who can be against you? And there are other statements from Scripture that affirm the same thing. One must remember that all of this facade of good guys and bad guys is simply an interplay of the duality that comes and goes around us. It seems to be what it seems to be, and that changes dramatically depending on who is assessing what seems and according to whatever their value system is, because most of us define reality dependent on what we think is important. If you are a materialist, that is where your attention and your treasures are also. And the same applies across the wide board. As for spiritual end of the equation, define spiritual. And by that I do not mean religious, which might as well be another form of materialism. And is your spirituality a constant thing or is it intermittent? Is it a convenient and flexible spirituality that allows you to include all the dynamics of the materialism that is your first love, but which you endeavor to hide from others and yourself? Well, this is how a lot of the New Age philosophies function, and how a lot of the more traditional Pop-Tart versions of more identifiable religions carry on. Or, with you, is it a sincere and dedicated devotion to that which is greater and more enduring than yourself, and by which you are changed according to the will and the designs of the ineffable? This requires an ongoing sacrifice of everything one might have found important, but which the ineffable finds extraneous and distracting. The ineffable wants to get you in a room alone, and that room is in your head and in your heart. It is a place the divine can enter into once whatever was denying that entrance has been neutralized. Everything in the world is engaged in a grand conspiracy to distract critical elements of your being from maintaining a lasting focus on the ineffable, because once that is accomplished, then the world disappears as an influence, and you are truly in the world, but not of it. This victory is a loss for the dark side. Their intention is to frustrate your spiritual ambitions until you compromise them or see the wisdom of crossing over and changing your focus so that your ambitions are made material. It is not a rare thing for people to wonder at some point how they got so trapped and entangled in those things that they once clearly understood as traps and entanglements. It is not a rare thing for people to sit in the rocking chair at the end of their life and have to consider all the many ways in which they failed to accomplish the higher purpose of their life as they once intended it. They might not get to that rocking chair, and they might still be around but don't have a rocking chair. You know what I mean. It is perfectly acceptable that a person might fail many, many times and despair of ever reaching that state of ease of mind and tranquility that is the objective of every seeker. One can be plagued by memories of an inconsistent life and the recollection of extended periods of being lost in one drama or another. One can come to a particular age, an advanced age, and wonder how it is that they are still troubled by desires and attractions that are more the province of youth, and once again despair at ever mastering such basic drives. This can have a calamitous effect on one's consciousness because one is still of the mind that it is up to them to achieve these states of freedom, that it somehow depends on your energies and intelligence to get to this place, and that it has everything to do with what you do, but this is not how it works. You can only go so far on your own. And after that, all you can do is have faith and endure and hope and attempt to keep your heart and mind directed toward the ineffable. There comes a time when you have exhausted your human abilities and you must depend on the ineffable for any further forward progress. If you think it is up to you and that your failures are actually failures and that what you imagine was wrong is actually and was actually wrong and that you had everything to say about what did and did not happen, well, then the guilt and remorse are something you can carry around to remind you that you didn't get where you thought you would and it's all your fault or God let you down. But unless the game is over, all kinds of things can happen yet. And you must remember that your idea of everything that happened and what you did and did not do is only your idea based on flawed judgment and an imperfect memory. It may be so that you came up short on occasion when you might have otherwise succeeded, but it could also be true that you have no idea of the meaning of any of it. Remember what the Bible says. It is by grace that ye are saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not by works, lest any man should boast. Once again, this is why I counsel devotion and an overwhelming love of the ineffable as much as you can summon this in your every day. I counsel that you start your day at the moment of first awakening with a communication to the ineffable. Regardless of any return on that investment of your time, you simply do it, knowing you are being heard and that whatever is said is being registered and that the ineffable has taken into consideration everything that was said and felt. Through the day, you seek to remember this and continue this. And at night, as you lay in your bed, you let your thoughts move to the ineffable as you consider how you spent your day and where you might go as you sleep. Seek to have your mind remain focused on the ineffable until sleep claims you. I believe if you can maintain some semblance of consistency in this, that the angels of the ineffable will take notice of this and you will be aided and abetted in your efforts to reach the ineffable. Do this to the best of your ability. I sincerely wish this for you, as I do for myself. This is why I remind you. For when I remind you, I remind myself. When I press you to a greater conviction in this, I am also pressing myself. I have to remind myself all the time. I know full well that I am not equal to what is required of me. I need help. I need for the ineffable to recognize that though I may have significant failings as a human being, I am sincere in my desire to achieve union with the ineffable and that I am passionate about this. And that it is not my intention to be diverted from this pursuit, regardless of my shortcomings and mistakes made in the effort. It is said that the Almighty is forgiving, and we should not, this is my opinion, try to comprehend the level and extent of the forgiveness of the Almighty. It is beyond the reach of our comprehension. I can assure you that the Almighty has forgiven and taken into his heart those who have committed greater crimes than we are capable of. It all depends on our capacity for contrition and sincere regret. The ineffable knows our hearts, and it is in the quality of our hearts that we are judged. Higher love cleanses the chambers of the heart. Higher love floods our being and clarifies our nature. Higher love is manifested through an aspiration to experience and express higher love. Eventually, you become like that which you seek after, should your intensity for that be greater than for anything else. It's different for everyone. Let us use learning the piano as an example. Some of us are born with a facility for this. Some of us are born... Or look at Mozart. some of these people. And some are not. And some of us are content to practice once a week in the pursuit of learning, and some of us practice for hours a day. And all of this factors in to the progress that we make. You will gain a facility for the piano much faster if you love doing it. So you must love what you do or not do it. You will naturally be drawn to the piano. You will seriously enjoy the experience. You must translate this example of the piano into a love for the ineffable. And it will have an ease to it that you might not have expected. Once you realize that everything you are after, or even imagine you might be after, is contained in the ineffable, including the capacity to appreciate and enjoy any of it. It's all in the ineffable. If you seek after the ineffable, you will eventually get every single other thing that you have ever wanted, or you will see that it was something you never wanted. But you will be made complete through nothing more than just the pursuit after the ineffable. Okay, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, I hope that this broadcast has been useful in some small way. May the light and the grace of the ineffable fall upon you, and may you aspire to it in any case. It is true when they say God is love. This is something to think about. That said, oh, Mamitabha, much love, Lady Nature. Greetings, my good friend, Lord Ganesh. Hare Krishna. Bismillah, Irman, Irahim. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and... Haru!
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. It can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his eyes. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing love and truth. He's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.